Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Andy, you're also watching this hockey game, right? Hold on. There we go.
Canada just tied it. I thought maybe Czechia was going to win.
I thought so too. I thought so too. You're locked in though, right? We're just going to talk hockey the next 5 minutes, right?
Whatever you want. The world is your oyster, Mitch Nellis. We just revolve around what you want to do.
That is 0% true. But we got the news. Whatever. Here, I'm gonna open up my email. My mouse wants to work. I'm going to open up. You know what, Tommy?
It's just...
Shut your mouth.
I love it. I love it, Mitch.
And you're lucky I said. You're lucky I said mouth.
Yeah, never change.
6:26 p.m. last night. We all, if we're on the Packers distribution list, are we allowed to name names? I don't... Tom Fanning does a great job there. He sends out the emails for immediate release. Bisaccia steps down as assistant head coach, special teams coordinator. And at this point, the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers, is going to morph into the Pack a Day podcast. Andy, you have the microphone for the next 15 minutes. I'm going to watch the hockey game. So you get this at 6:26 last night as well. What was your first, immediate reaction to this news?
Well, so you guys know, I have my alerts on my phone set up at all times, and I usually get on this stuff right away. Well, yesterday I was, bringing the kids to and from sports and did grocery shopping in between. So I didn't see this until 6:55. I was 30 minutes behind, which is usually rare for me.
Yeah.
And then I get home and I have a live show at 7. So I had to, quick figure out what was going on and then jumped on the live show at 7 and talked about it. And then Justice and I hopped on a podcast last night for today's show. But no, I mean, there's so many different ways to look at this. The first thing I would say is, we don't know what ultimately led to this. We know that a year ago, Rich Bisaccia contemplated retirement. They talked him out of it, gave him an extension, I'm assuming a raise as well, and he came back. Mm-hmm. And this year, we asked Brian Gutekunst at the press conference, what about special teams? What about Rich? He waxed poetic multiple times about how the special teams improved and how much they love Rich Bisaccia. And then all of a sudden we get to February 17th and we get the news that Rich Bisaccia is stepping down. Mm-hmm. Now, what I'll say is we don't know if this was some sort of disagreement as they were having 2026 meetings and Rich thought one thing and Matt thought the other. And there was some, difference of opinion and this is what caused it. I doubt it, but maybe Green Bay was the one that kind of forced it out. It certainly didn't feel that way coming off of Goody's press conference and how they've talked about him for basically forever. We don't know if Rich had some extenuating circumstance, family matter, health issue, whatever the case may be. So I'm not judging. I'm not casting stones. I'm not doing any of that. Okay. But I will say, if this was just one of those things where he decided on February 17th to step away, 5 to 6 weeks after the season ended, I think 5 weeks after the season ended, and after 11 other special teams coordinators have already been hired, and there are no other special teams coordinator openings out there, that is a really, really crappy situation to do at that point in time. So again, I don't know what the circumstances were, not necessarily judging, but if it were just I took some time to think about it, went on vacation for 5 weeks, came back and realized I don't want to come back. Man, that timing is just beyond brutal.
Okay. And then your reaction as a Packers fan and a reviewer of the special teams and player grades and rankings and your number grades that you give out. What was your end of season review of Rich Bisaccia and the special teams?
Yeah, so let's do some good and bad. All right, obviously punting was really good this past year. Punt coverage was really good. Kick coverage was fine. McManus was terrible, especially in key moments when they needed him most, and worked through some injuries probably, which was at a disadvantage to the team in the middle of the season. They had too many penalties and they sucked at kick returning and punt returning. And I think, you know, you look at special teams and it gets this big umbrella, but there are so many different, there's the kicking game, there's the punting game, there's the return game, there's the coverage, there's all these different aspects of it. And it's really tough just to say, well, it all together was one thing. When the truth is, there were certain aspects of it that were actually really good. There were a lot of aspects that were really bad. You can also look at it as the fact of like, all right, what were they bad at? Well, they were weak field goal kicking. I love the way that Justice Mosqueda describes it as like the kicker's an independent contractor. Okay. Like there's nothing that Rich, you know, yes, the long snapper and the holder can practice and get better and things like that. But if the hold is good and the snap is good and you protect it well, which they didn't do all through the season, which should be noted, that's on Rich. But if they do all that and the kicker just misses, there's not much the special teams coordinator can, you know, should he have whispered to him differently? Hey, gay buddy, you know, you got this one. Go get it. Go put it through the uprights. Like, there's only so much you can do as a special teams coach to get a kicker to make kicks. And just practice it, and that's it. And you hope that they go out there and kick it. And in the return game, I don't think Goody gave him a legitimate returner all right. season long, which makes it difficult to have a good return game. Mm-hmm. That being said, Mitch, you've had the opportunity to work in situations like, say, for example, you have to work with Tommy Wartz on more than one occasion. That's not an ideal situation, right? That's not an ideal situation. So you have to find a way to overcome that. And still, despite some staffing deficiencies that might happen on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network, Tommy, I love you. I'm kidding. You know,
I make my kicks.
Yes. Despite some deficiencies that might happen, you still are asked to go out and perform your job at a high level.
Yes.
And so at Rich Bisaccia, despite maybe not having an ideal returner and despite having a kicker that maybe missed some kicks, you know what? You still have to make sure that it is getting blocked up front and that you're not having game losing field goal blocks against the Browns, that you're not having an extra point blocked returned against the Dallas Cowboys, which probably cost you a win in that game. Mm-hmm. You can't have a kicker that is, even though it's, again, it's an independent contractor, whatever, that is missing three kicks in a playoff game. Like, these things can't happen. And so while I don't necessarily know that Rich is the main problem, I also don't think he was the solution. And clearly that has shown itself for three seasons. So while I wish this would have happened sooner and they could have gone out and got a better, more established special teams coordinator, which now doesn't exist out there, they can't just go and find that guy. I'm open to the fact that maybe there's still an opportunity that this thing could get better, but I'm also open to the opportunity that this thing could actually somehow, some way get worse.
Andy Herman, Pack-A-Day podcast, joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show. Go ahead, Mitch.
No. I just think we just need to let what Andy just said marinate for a second.
In that, like, it's just going to be terrible no matter what?
That it could just get worse.
Well, I mean, they were 30 you know what, guys? In his tenure.
Guys, that much worse.
I'm going home. I'm going to go take a nap. I'm gonna
pretend that special teams is just a bad dream. He just wants to watch overtime hockey. That's what he wants to do.
Andy, with Bisaccia leaving at this time, can we assume that it's just all Rich Bisaccia's reasoning then? Like, there wouldn't have been any sort of conversations that happened with Goody or with LaFleur during this time that would lead to Rich Bisaccia stepping down? Or, like, I just don't understand this timing at all with anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's been 20 different offensive coordinators hired. There's been 10 different head coaches hired and special teams coordinators as well. Like, now, why the timing comes up at this moment? Like, it feels like it has to be 100% Rich Bisaccia, right?
I think the most, again, this is all conjecture. I have no reporting, no inside information. And I've been reading everybody on the beat to try to see if anyone has a, no pun intended, beat on this thing. And it doesn't seem that anybody really does that. So it's just conjecture at this point. I think the most obvious answer is that, yes, Green Bay wanted him back. All indications were they wanted him back. I certainly don't think they get to the point in February 17th when all of their special teams coordinators have been picked over and jobs have been filled. And then they decide, oh, yep, you know, we're out of the Rich Bisaccia business. Let's now go find a new special teams coordinator, especially when their assistant special teams coordinator, even if they wanted to promote from within, just got a job 7 days ago. Like, they could have blocked that. They could have kept, not blocked it, but they could have offered him the job in Green Bay. He probably would have stayed. That was Baron Storer, who went to Cleveland. Not saying that that would have been the best scenario, but if you're Green Bay, you want those options at least. And now you are out of all those options. So I think the most likely scenario is that this was a Rich thing. Again, whether that was a personal issue that he had, a health issue, whatever, or whether it was just, yeah, took some time, thought about it, just don't want to do this anymore. Though I think those are the most likely. There are other options. Number one is, last year at this time, it was reported that, again, Rich was looking to potentially step away and retire, and Green Bay went back to him and said, hey, we'll bump your salary up. We'll extend you another year. We want you here. Mm. You know, please come back, etc. I don't think this is the case. I'm just saying these are options that are out there. Maybe Rich was trying to pull this thing again. Maybe Rich was trying to say, hey, you guys, you know, I'm going to retire. And maybe he's kind of looking for another raise, another bump, another whatever, another extension. Green Bay's like, no, we're good. We'll go in like, he's like, yeah, yep, I'm going to retire. And they're like, okay, see you later. Maybe that's the case. Maybe it's that they were starting to have 2026 meetings and they were talking about what the special teams was going to consist of. One of the things that's a little bit underrated here is that Jonathan Gannon is a new defensive coordinator. If he decides to run a 3-4, that can actually tax the special teams a little bit more. You might have fewer inside linebackers. There might not be a spot for Aaron Mosby as that extra, you know, edge player. There might be some things that actually hurt how the roster is assembled this upcoming season. There could be disagreements. Rich might have said, hey, I'm coming back, but I need this. And Goody or Matt could have been like, no, we're not doing, that's not the way that we do things. We're not doing that thing. So there could be a variety of different things, but I think usually, you know, it's the most obvious answer is just Rich took time, decided he didn't want to come back and he didn't, but we'll hopefully get some news of this, of like exactly what happened at some point in time.
So, and then Andy, off of that, like what is the most likely next move for Green Bay in getting a special teams coordinator? Is it easier and more to the book to hire within when the timing is like this? Are they going to be able to really do any due diligence around the rest of the league? As we know, a bunch of candidates already gone.
Yeah, so within seems, you know, almost impossible. Again, their assistant special teams coordinator is gone. He just got hired as the special teams coordinator in Cleveland. Corey Harkey is still there, but he is the assistant to the assistant. He's basically, I mean...
There's
very slim chances that he's the next guy up. So internal seems out the window. Yep. Some names that I think make some sense. Devin Fitzsimmons is the Seahawks assistant special teams coach. They were arguably the top special teams in the league this past year. He's been an assistant special teams coach for them for a while. He also did that role in Carolina and Arizona in the past. So you would think that he's ready for a promotion. He's been doing this for a long time. Jet Modkins is the assistant special teams coach in Detroit. He's done that for 5 years in Detroit. They've had a pretty good special teams, not amazing, but they've been pretty good at it. That could be somebody that makes sense. Marquise Williams is the only special teams coordinator who was a special teams coordinator last year who is available, who didn't get fired. There's three other, there's three other ones who got fired last year or fired from their job that are available. Marquise Williams is the only one that's available where he was in Atlanta and Stefanski just didn't retain him. The reason he didn't retain him is because he's been like a bottom five special teams in every year in the last 4 to 5 years. He does have connections to Raheem Morris and Arthur Smith, who Matt LaFleur is close to. We know connections play a lot of roles, not just with LaFleur, but throughout the NFL. Yep. Even though he has basically done terrible with special teams wherever he's gone, I think there's a decent chance that Marquise Williams could potentially be the guy. TJ Weiss is the Giants assistant special teams coordinator. He was the Ravens assistant special teams coordinator for the last 6 years. John Harbaugh, of course, was in Baltimore, who has the huge special teams background. That was his job ahead of time. And again, he followed Harbaugh to the Giants this offseason. Jeff Banks is the highest paid special teams coordinator in college football at Texas. He's also an assistant head coach. Whether he would leave or not, he's been rumored to have flirted with the NFL in the past. LeVar Woods just went to Michigan State as their assistant head coach and special teams coordinator. He's been the special teams coach at Iowa from 2018 to 2025. And then a shot in the dark, not Mason Crosby, although that'd be great as well.
That would be great.
Chad Morton, who is a former special teams kick returner, punt returner, fantastic returner.
Return ace.
Return ace. Was a Packers coaching admin in 2009 and then was the Packers assistant special teams coach from 2010 to 2013 and the Seahawks assistant special teams coach in 2014 when they beat the Packers. You know the rest there.
He's been
a running backs coach from 2015 to current. So for the last 10 years, he hasn't done anything with special teams, but he does have some of that experience as well. That would be my list of names of who could potentially make sense for Green Bay.
Does the head coach, assistant head coach position just get replaced by like Stenovich or something then too? Is that anything to look into? Like, does that role even matter?
A good chance that Harkey,
or do they need one?
the third in command, Harkey, probably moves up to the assistant special teams coach, would be my guess.
No, I'm talking about the assistant head coach position from Bisaccia.
Oh, so yeah. So assistant head coach is this cool thing that we like to think of as like a legitimate position. It's usually a way to tag a title on somebody to get them more pay. It's not like they're not going to go out and hire an assistant head coach or something like that. That's usually not how this works. Now, Jeff Stoutland, the offensive line coach that's out there, if they wanted to now bring him in as offensive line coach and assistant head coach, that title is out there and they could add that to his title and give him more money. That is something that they could do. If they're like, let's say they did go the college route and LeVar Woods or Jeff Banks or one of the top special teams coaches in college said, yeah, I'm going to need something a little bit more to make that jump and to leave my current position. Green Bay has that title to use where they could go assistant head coach as well. But it's more of just a title to bump some more pay on somebody more than it is anything else, to be honest.
Andy Herman joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon. Andy Herman, of course, with Pack-A-Day Podcast. Going back to some of those names, I got to be honest, like I'm a tune out guy when I hear like a laundry list menu of names, but I'm much more interested in like their pedigree, where they came from. So you led with Seahawks, and yep. I didn't hear another word you said because you led with Seahawks, and there's nobody else on earth that I'd rather have leading my special teams than somebody from the best special teams unit in the league from the team that just won the Super Bowl. What has to happen for, again, I don't even know dude's name. Was that Fitzsimmons?
Yes, it was. Devin Fitzsimmons.
Okay. What like, is that a reality that, like, that he's ready to take on that role, that this could be the solution for the Green Bay Packers? Because, again, like, everybody who's connected to anyone connected ever in their life to Matt LaFleur, I want them as far away as possible from our special teams. But if Fitzsimmons can come in here and be like, all right, you're going to give me, you know, again, like, you're not going to give me the groceries to shop with. You're not going to give me all the tools at my disposal. And I'm still going to build a pretty good special teams, because in Seattle, we just like that was our mantra. And I know how to bring that to Green Bay. That's the guy I want.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything that you just said. As far as whether or not he's ready or not, I mean, unless I can get him in a room and talk to him and interview him and everything like that, I have no idea. Sure. Even if I did, I don't even know what special teams questions I would ask of him. Like, you know, what are you looking for in your return units? I don't know, right? But, you know, certainly coming from that sort of pedigree and having that experience is usually how things would work in the NFL. But yeah, special teams is so freaking weird. And, you know, they got the most established guy last time around and it still went terrible. They went the college route with Menenga. It went terrible. They went an assistant coach that on their own squad in Drayton. It went terrible. They went Mike Stock. They went, and we can go on and on. It's just been a laundry list of crappy special teams experiences. And it should be noted, I don't think it's just the coordinator. In fact, I know it's not, because this has been a decades-long problem, not just under Matt LaFleur, not just under Brian Gutekunst, not just under Rich Bisaccia. This has been going on for an extremely long time. They have a major issue with how they, you know, whether it's practicing special teams, developing special teams, adding people via free agency in the draft to special teams. It's a little bit of all of it, and it's just been way too big of a problem.
Yeah, so Andy, off of that, then, I mean, how confident are you the special teams gets better in 2026 then? Because there was a lot of people calling for Bisaccia for many years now, and it finally happened, and now it happened at maybe the worst time it could have possibly happened when you fire a special teams coordinator. So I know they were 30th in his tenure in special teams rating, but it can't get much worse than that, right?
I hope not.
Yeah.
I certainly hope not. I have zero faith that, like, I talked to Aaron Nagler before the season started, and you know, I think he kind of asked me tongue in cheek, but he's like, you know, do you think 2025 could be the season where the special teams is gonna, and I said, no, my absolutely, I will believe that the special teams is better when we get to an end of a season and I can see them ranked in the top 10 and they didn't blow the playoff game to end the season. Like that, when those two things combined happen, when they don't blow the playoff game and when they're ranked in the top 10, I will say, yeah, they had a good special teams. Congratulations. We finally did it. You know, cut the ribbon and, you know, spray the confetti, whatever you need to do, you know, pop the champagne. But no, I have zero faith that Green Bay is going to place a competent special teams until I see it, because I haven't seen it since I don't even know when, you know, since the Craig Hendrick and Desmond Howard days and Chris Jackie. I mean, there's been versions of it, you know. Obviously, Mason was great, and there's been other pieces that have been good, but not everything consistently for a significant period of time. So I'll believe it when I see it.
Tommy, you go to special teams?
Like, run it?
No. I mean, do you have more follow-up?
No, I wanted to ask Andy quick. That at the end, because that's kind of how I feel as well. I'm just like, this has been a problem my entire life, so I don't know what's going to change. Even if Passaccia did stink, they just always stink at this. So, yeah, I'm good, Mitch.
All right. Let's see. Malik Willis, Rashid Walker, Quay Walker, and Romeo Doubs.
And Sean Ryan.
All right. Yep. And Sean Ryan. Do any of them?
And Kingsley Nagbare.
JJ. It goes by JJ, dude. Come on.
Yeah.
Get it together.
Is he unrestricted?
All of them are.
Okay. I knew Ryan was. I forgot about Nagbare. Are any of them on the Packers next year?
I would say if you set the over under at 1.5, I'll take the under. Mm-hmm. Three are gone for sure. Rashid's gone for sure.
Okay.
Malik Willis is gone for sure. Okay. And who's the other one that's Dobbs. Gone for sure? All right. Dobbs is gone for sure. Yep. Sorry. Thank you. Those are the three that are gone for sure, in my opinion.
Because they're going to they're going to get paid at a level that the Packers will not be interested in. Or
sure.
They have replacements for them.
Correct. Yeah. In some cases, especially with like Walker, probably both.
Yeah.
All right. So Quay to me is dollars and cents. If it's 9, 10, 11 plus million per year, 3 to 4 year deal, I think he's gone. If that gets to closer to like 7.5 mil or less per year, I think there's a really good chance that he could be back. I think this is one where they say, hey, hit the open market, see what you can get. Come let us know. If we can match, we will. If not, we'll wish you the best of luck in your future endeavors. I think that's a pure dollars and cents one. I think Enagbare is the same. I think if his is somewhere in 4 to 5 million per year on a 2 to 3 year deal and they can get him back relatively cheap, I think they would love to have him. I think if he somehow gets a 3-year, $24, 3-year, $30 million deal, I think same thing. They'll say, best of luck. We appreciate everything you did for Green Bay. And then Sean Ryan's the most interesting one. They love versatility. They love young players. They drafted him in the third round. They've developed him. He's for the most part gotten better year over year. He was okay at center. He was an upgrade over Elgton Jenkins, in my opinion. He didn't solidify the position, but he was just kind of thrown into it in the fly. He didn't get a whole training camp to play it or anything like that. I thought he was good as a run blocker. He was below average as a pass protector, you know, but there's just like, there's probably three players that I think are probably better than him. Mm-hmm. Tyler Linderbaum, who's going to get just a, you know, metric butt ton of money.
Yes.
It's a scientific fact or like measurement. The next one is McGovern from the Bills.
Connor.
And yeah, thank you, Connor McGovern. And he's 30. It's not what they were right around 30. And you know, he's also going to get a lot of money. And I'm not sure Green Bay goes in that direction. The other one would be Cade Mays, who's a very Green Bay Packers type player. He's, you know, coming off his first contract, had his best year a year ago. He's been blissfully average in his entire career. He's fine at everything. He's got good height, good weight. He's pretty athletic. And they're probably gonna have to overpay him to come to Green Bay. And he'd be like the Aaron Banks of 2026. I don't love it. Whereas if you could get Ryan a little bit cheaper, I think it probably makes more sense just to stick with that. But how comfortable are we if Ryan is the resigning and Walker leaves and all of a sudden it's just Jordan Morgan at left tackle, Aaron Banks at left guard, Sean Ryan at center, Belton at right guard, and Zach Tom at right tackle. That was a line that, you know, I know Tom was injured for the majority of the year, but that was a line that didn't get the job done for the most part. Other than you're now putting Morgan in for Rashid Walker, do you feel confident that they can take a step with just those five guys returning? I think that's a fair question to ask.
I kind of do. Like, and maybe I'm wearing my green and gold glasses. I don't necessarily think I am. Like, healthy. If everybody's healthy and everybody knows their job coming into training camp, people aren't getting moved around to different positions. People aren't getting, like, if you know your job, I think that, like, I think the mental load of that is so much better than I'm fighting for this position, but I'm also the backup of this position. I'm also over here and I don't know exactly what's going on. I feel like that mental load of knowing what your role is coming into training camp. And if, again, like, health is always the wild card. But then if your five guys stay healthy, I do worry about depth. And obviously they can, you know, they'll take a guy in the draft and maybe they'll sign a backup guy or and they've got a couple backup guys there who can probably be backups.
Don't sleep on Travis Glover. I think they like Travis Glover, who was out all of last year, who I think was going to probably have a more prominent backup role for them. Can play some tackle, can play some guard. Mammoth human being. I think they like him. I think he'll be a top backup next year.
Last one I got for you, Andy. Cut candidates. It's coming up here, and we saw the Dolphins fire sale a lot. On Green Bay, I think we got a couple names that jump off the page. Anyone surprising, though, either?
No, there's four, and I think one is a no-go. Aaron Banks would be the one. I don't think they're going to release him. I think they'll bring him back, give him the opportunity in year two. Nate Hobbs, I think, is the most questionable one. They don't save a ton this year, but they do save money overall. I do know that there are those on the Packers beat that think that he's gone. I think there's others that think there's a chance he's back. That to me is a real coin flip. The two that seem to make the most obvious sense are Elgton Jenkins, who I think is a foregone conclusion that he's gone. And then probably the most interesting is Rashawn Gary, who I believe most people just expect to be gone. I think he will be. I think he should be. But Green Bay's weird with this stuff. They're very loyal. Yep. He was a captain last year. They drafted him, gave him a big contract extension. And the weird thing with Gary, although this is a huge mistake if they would do it, in my opinion, you actually save more money by restructuring him this year than you do by releasing him. So if you were to not, and I'm not saying a pay cut, I'm saying restructuring his contract so you kick the money into the future, you actually save more money on the salary cap this year by doing that. So you know, if you're just looking at 2026, which is a bad thing to do if you're an NFL general manager, but if you're just looking at that, you can say, wait, I can either not have Rashawn Gary and save less money, or I can have Rashawn Gary and save more money. Huh, interesting. And so that's where things could get a little wonky. And again, we just know that Green Bay's loyal with this stuff, probably to a fault sometimes. So I think Gary's gone, but it's one of those that I'm also going to believe when I see.
Speaking of restructuring, everybody go look at what the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes just did, because that was crazy.
That should be illegal.
That should be illegal.
That should be illegal. Yeah.
Okay, look, just really quick. The Packers did the same thing with Jordan Love. It just isn't advertised because it was put in there ahead of time. It was an option bonus that was put there ahead of time, where they're saving basically 20, 30 million on the salary cap by having that automatically baked in that the restructure is going to take place. It just is. It's not something that needs to be announced or whatever, because it's baked into the contract.
Isn't the Mahomes one 40 million still? It's like from 73 to 34. Like that. It's deferring money like the Dodgers. It's the same thing. The salary cap is a joke in the NFL. They will make it work.
It's not quite usually as bad, but yeah, it is.
It is nowhere near as bad. This one was a joke. Nowhere near as bad.
My last question, Andy, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good.
Yeah.
It's almost brewer season. It's almost March Madness. Yep. Free agency starts in a month. We got Shamrock Shakes. We've got Girl Scout cookies. Mm. You know, we've got WrestleMania season. Life is good.
Yeah. I mean,
life is good.
You just put like the entire laundry list like that. I mean, I'm just like, now I want to go home and just like do all those things. But I'm watching I'm watching a great curling match between US and Great Britain right now.
Yeah, Canada pulled off the hockey game.
They got the win. So US playing at 2:10 today against Sweden. Yep. So big matchup there, and we'll see. Hopefully we get US Canada again, because I just want them to drop the gloves before the whistle and just like go at it, just fight everybody.
What was that hockey tournament called? Was it a year ago? Two years ago?
Four Nations.
Yeah. Oh. That was so good. I love Olympic hockey. It's amazing. We need Canada USA in the final. It'll be epic.
Andy Herman, you are the absolute best. Pack-a-day podcast, daily content, 365 days a year. Andy Herman's on top of it. He loves the Packers. We love the Packers. Go Pack, go. We might not always agree on how we want the Packers to operate, but we all agree that we want W's over L's. So, Andy, thank you so much for jumping on today last minute and starting the show in the right way, talking Rich Bisaccia and what's going on with our Pack. We will catch up with you soon, my friend.
Can't wait. Thanks.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Guys.
All right, that is Andy Herman, Pack-A-Day Podcast. Again, he is the absolute best. Joining us on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law, one call, that's all. We've got a fun show planned for you today. We've got some more Packers talk and reaction to Rich Bisaccia. Would love to hear what you have to say. 414-677-1250. Do you think the Packers special teams will be better next year? How confident are you that the Packers special teams will be better next year? Andrew Banstra from Channel 3000 in Madison is going to join us at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. Not a great night for the Badger last night. We got some Brewers talk as well. And we're getting closer to the Bucks playing Friday night. Will Giannis be playing? Don't know. Will he ever wear a Bucks uniform again? I don't know. He's Tommy Wirtz. I'm Mitch Nellis. Mason's golfing. This is the Mason Crosby Show presented by Verizon.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.